Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rosh Hashanah. Welcome to this new year of the podcast. We look forward to learning with you. And I've just sent out a video New Year's card on the podcast channel. We hope that you enjoy that. Please let us know any comments about it. As we proceed through the holidays, please discuss the podcast with your friends. People are often very interested to hear about the podcast and how to tune into it every week. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. And may I give you the traditional Rosh Hashanah blessing, Sheniyeh LeRosh VeLo LeZanav, that we should be like the head and not like the tail. But hey, wait a minute. Is that such a great bracha? Where does it come from? What does it say about how we view power? Do I really like this bracha? What we're going to do together today is we're going to look at five different approaches within and without the Jewish tradition to power in an attempt to understand this traditional bracha. This is said by many Jews on Rosh Hashanah night, looking at the table. They look at the head of a fish or the head of a sheep, and they say, I'd like to be at the head and not at the tail. And based upon what we do today, perhaps it'll give you a deeper understanding of the bracha, or perhaps it'll make you decide to create your own new bracha that is more your way of thinking. The first tendency we're going to look at is an anti-power tendency. Of course, the greatest explication of this comes not from Jewish tradition, but from Christian tradition, when John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. I am not interested in this world. I am not interested in fighting of Rome. I am not interested in fighting against oppression. My interest is to help my followers to reach Olam Haba, the world to come." Well, not quite as extreme as this. In Avot, chapter 3, Mishnah 5, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh says something very similar. He says, "Kol ha-mekabel alav ol Torah, mavirin mimeno o malchut for ol derech eretz. Whoever takes upon themselves the yoke of Torah, from them will be taken away the yoke of government and the yoke of worldly care." Some people understand this as saying, if you accept the Torah, then it will no longer feel like a yoke. It'll feel like a mantle. You will not be bowed down by your troubles. You'll want to serve the people. However, the pshat contextual meaning seems very, very close to John in the idea that ideally it's best not to wield power. Best it would be to learn Torah and to keep away from that. So the first tendency is one that is very anti-power. The second, other extreme, believes in power for its own sake. And it's interesting that I couldn't really find anything in Jewish tradition in this direction. Milton in Paradise Lost says, "Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. What's important is that you're the leader, not the quality of the group that you lead." And the closest I could find to anything like this in Jewish tradition was there is a Roman Eretz Israeli folk saying, "Better to be the head of foxes than the tail of lions. Rather than being the vulnerable tail of a proud beast, better to be the head of sly foxes." Here there's no moral content. All that's important is that you're the boss. These are two extremes. Anti-power, power versus power for its own sake. The next two positions, I would say, are somewhere in the middle. Position number 3 says that power is a burden. Ideally, we would not want to have power. It's better not to be involved. But since it is a necessary evil in the world, one should strive not to be the leader oneself, but rather a follower. And even better, if you are the follower of a good group. So in Mishlei, chapter 13, verse 20, we read that if you go to scholars, you'll get smarter, whereas the leader of fools will deteriorate. In Avot, chapter 4, Mishnah 15, Rabbi Matyah, the son of Charash, inverted the Roman Eretz Israeli folk saying, by saying, "V'havah zenav la'ariyot, v'al tiyeh rosh l'shu'alim." It's better to be a tail to lions rather than a head to foxes. And Rambam in Hilchot Deot, chapter 6, halacha 1, echoes this when he says that it's the nature of people to be influenced by those around them. It's inevitable it's going to happen. So make sure that you are around good people to make sure that they influence you in a good way. So number one is anti-power. Number two is power for its own sake. Number three sees power as being a necessary evil. The fourth position is one that I find particularly interesting and is really where the root of our saying comes from. For this fourth position, power and money are connected. If I have power, I have money. If I have money, I have power. And interesting, power and the observance of mitzvot are connected. If I keep the mitzvot, then I will have power. If I don't keep the mitzvot, I'll not have power. And I find something very, very refreshing about it. Rather than saying that poverty is so wonderful, we can reflect on the fact that the leaders of our people, somebody like Abraham, was a very, very rich man. And I've heard it said that actually, in some ways, wealth is a stronger spiritual challenge than poverty. Obviously, all of us would rather be rich than be poor. But wealth and what one does with it is often a very, very big challenge. And we see in these different passages I'm going to share with you now that power and wealth and spiritual life are connected, and blessing is seen as having a lot of power. So in Dvarim 15, Pasuk 6, we read that part of a blessing is that we will lend to many nations, but we will not have to borrow. That one of the ideals of a blessed life is to be a lender, but not to be a borrower. And the word that is used for lending is v'ha'avatata, and you shall give out, you shall lend out to many nations. It's interesting that the parallel word in Akkadian, which is initim, speaks about two different loans. One is a friendship loan, a loan that I'm able to give to somebody without charging interest. Or it could mean the exact opposite extreme, which is a loan against security, a very, very big loan against a lot of security. Regardless of whether it's a friendship loan, a loan that I give somebody just for the fun of it, or a very big loan, it shows my power. I'm rich enough, strong enough to give you a friendship loan that doesn't have interest. I'm rich enough, strong enough to give you a loan and expect a lot in return. Similarly, in Dvarim, chapter 28, verses 12 to 13, we read, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not need to borrow, and the Lord will set you at the head and not at the table. V'natatcha Hashem l'rosh v'lo l'lazanav. This is where our saying comes from, and it's very clear that we get this power because we choose to observe the Torah. The Ibn Ezra, commenting on this, says, Velveta goyim rabim, you will lend to many nations, ki yiravu, because they will become hungry. In some way, some have said that this is a tikkun, a fixing up of Joseph. Joseph had to go to Egypt. Maybe the tikkun for the Joseph story, I should have said. Jacob's family had to go to Egypt because there was famine and they didn't have enough food. So too, over here, we will have people coming, but this time, instead of the children of Israel going elsewhere to get food, they will come to us. And it's important to note, and we sometimes forget it, that the first Commonwealth, the second Commonwealths, these were enormous regional powers that wielded a lot of might and strength. The Ramban goes even further in commenting. It says it's not enough to be the head and not at the tail. He says it is possible that you will be the head of many peoples, and yet you will be the tail of one nation. In other words, we could be the biggest and the strongest, but there's still one person we're not as strongest. And he says, V'lo lezanav ad olam bechad mekol ha etim. You will never become a tail, you will always be the head, and you'll be the head of everybody. You will be the complete leader. This is what will happen if we observe the Torah. As opposed to this, Later on in the same chapter, in chapter 28, in Pasuk 44, if we do not behave, then the stranger will become higher and higher, and we will become lower and lower. Hu yiyeh l'rosh, he will be the head, v'ata tiyeh l'zanav, and you will be the tail. In other words, punishment is seen as lack of power. Punishment is that you're going right down. So we've seen two extreme positions, the anti-power tendency versus the exulting in power tendency. We've seen two middling positions, one which sees power as a necessary evil, the other which exults in power, but says that it should be based on morality, it should be based on ethics, it should be based on gathering of wealth, it should be based on lending as well as borrowing. But even this one I find problematic. There's a feeling today we perhaps overuse the word win-win, but there's no win-win over here. Either I'm up and somebody else is down, or somebody's down and somebody and I'm up. There's something very, very hierarchical upon it. Is there not perhaps a fifth model in our tradition, something more harmonizing? And in fact, indeed, we do. In the famous passage in Yeshayahu, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, V'gar ze'ev im keves, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, v'namar im gdi yirbats, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, v'egel u'kfir u'mariyah yachtav, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, v'na'ar katon nohegbam, and a little boy will lead them. One thing I find fascinating in all these psukim and in all these statements is the proliferation of animalistic metaphors. And I think there's some type of a feeling going on that power is animalistic, that somehow having power is part of the animal side of ourselves. And I think this is contrasted with v'na'ar katon nohegbam, and a little child will lead them, a little boy will lead them, or a youth will lead them, perhaps is a better translation, which is often a sense of innocence, often a sense of somebody who's not sinned. And I think this pasuk is making something very, very clear, that we're not animals, and there's a different way of doing things. It's possible to dream and to work and to hope for a world of harmonization. It's possible that power does not have to be a question of I'm up and you're down, but that all of us share power and use power. It's possible to see power not as a necessary evil, as animalistic, as a winner-takes-all, but as something holy and good, something that can be used in the correct directions. It's a wonderful, wonderful dream, but I don't believe we're there yet. The Maggid of Dubno tells a wonderful, wonderful story. He tells a story of a, quite surprisingly, a fox. Hey, isn't that a surprise? A fox who goes to a tree and sees a beautiful bird over there. And he says to the bird, please come down, please come down. And the bird says, what do you think? Am I an idiot? I've read Aesop's fables. I've read La Fontaine. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to come down and you're going to eat me. And the fox says, no, 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 of course not. Didn't you hear the Messiah's come? And the crow or the bird says, the Messiah's come? I didn't know that the Messiah had come. And the crow starts climbing down the tree, or flying down the tree. Suddenly, the barking of the dogs is heard in the distance. And the bird says to the fox, how can it be? If the Mashiach has come and the dogs are still after you? And the fox answers, the dogs don't know that the Messiah has come. The Maggid of Dubno comments on this and says that somebody who believes that Mashiach has already come is mistaken. Somebody who believes Mashiach has already come will be eaten by the dogs. But somebody who does not believe in Mashiach is a dog. In other words, we are poised in this world between two very different extremes. One is the desire to believe that everything is perfect and to act that way, but if they act that way, then we will be destroyed. Another is to look at the world as erratically unredeemed and unredeemable, and to become like a dog, to become like position number two, where power becomes power for its own sake. There's a tendency perhaps to go like position number one and just to want to close the door and not want to be part of it. In the real world that we live in, we have to act like three and four, seeing power as a necessary evil or something that, for better or for worse, we sometimes have to be hierarchical about. But I believe we will have lost the message of Rosh Hashanah and the message of the Torah and the message of all that is good in the world if we forget about number five, if we do not dream about and work for and sometimes act in such a way that will bring the wolf lying down with the lamb, the leopard with the goat, the calf, the young lion, and the fatling together, and allowing innocence and beauty to be what leads us over there. May this Rosh Hashanah and this year be one of peace for Am Yisrael and for all the world, and may it be a world in which you and me and the Jewish people and Kol Yoshvei Tevel learn to use their power with dignity and wisdom for the betterment of all the people in the world. Shana Tova.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkreuz, and Shana Tova to you and to your families. We wish you the very best for the new year. Please let us know any comments about the podcast. Write us via podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.